Hello all and welcome back. Thank you as ever everyone for getting in touch and sharing your thoughts and opinions. The best place to do so, comment section below. And if you have a longer story, maybe with some pictures, you can email hi@tuesdaydobbs.com. Begin this week with a premium workhorse with a very rare colour. This is from Marissa all the way over in Ontario, Canada. Freddie, someone told me, I love stories like this. Someone told me about this being sold, the bike pictured, with other bikes from a collection due to illness, and I impulse bought it. It's a 1994 BMW R1100RS in a rather peculiar colour scheme. Original new owner bought it in 1994 in New Jersey, where it stayed all the way through until 2009. Last dealer service entries from then with 12,500 miles. Then the owner that I bought it from imported it to Canada. The bike is currently sitting at just 15,000 miles. I mean, that is nothing. What's that? That's about 500 miles a year. And it sat for most of the last 16 years doing nothing. But interestingly, all of the electronics, including heated grips and ABS, work. It's very, very clean, even though I haven't had a chance to give it a good wash. It passed the safety inspection, our version of the MOT, with just new tyres and some brake work. I love bikes like that, when they just work, they just start back up. Coming off a big four-cylinder Japanese bike, or coming off these big four-cylinder Japanese bikes over the last 10 years, for example, FJR, ZX14, ZZR1400, huge beasts of bikes, and also the GTR1400 and a Gen 3 Hayabusa. God, Marissa, I can see the kind of bikes you like. Then more recently, 2023 Triumph Tiger 1200 Rally Pro. It does feel rather slow and a bit like a tractor, but somehow just gets under your skin and makes you smile. It's very lovable, and I very much hope that I keep it forever in this pristine condition. I'm not sure if these will ever be collectible, but I feel like this bike bridges the old and the new eras of biking. Yes, it's an old bike, but it feels pretty modern. I paid $4,500 Canadian, which is probably about average. Some very clean examples fetch about $5,000 to $6,000 in the US, so I definitely didn't overpay. Now, Marissa, the first thing that caught my eyes when I saw this, it's that, for one, the pro level pictures, they always make a huge difference. Stunningly good quality pictures, but it's that color combination. I think it's rare that I've seen a bike where a colour combination transforms a bike into what is really an under-the-radar workhorse that no one really talks about. Suddenly, you put it in this colour, that beautiful white, just off-white paintwork, with that turquoise seat and the little turquoise RS lettering on the side of the fairing, and this being just a semi-fared variant. I think that looks so good. I would buy this bike specifically just because of the colour. I would pay over the odds for this bike because of this colour combo. So let's take a look at these. These bikes from BMW that always went under the radar. Sports touring bike, made from 1993 to 2001, with the 1100cc engine punching out from the boxer engine 90 horsepower. Same engine as the GS1100. This was actually voted Cycle World's best, I don't know what this means, best standard motorcycle for 1994. Available in fared or half-fared variant, like Marissa's here. It's this unusual combination that makes, for me, this such an interesting bike. The half-fared with that colour combination. It shows off the engine. Tough old bikes. I've taken a look online to see what I can find you for any kind of budget, really. I was desperately looking for this exact colour combo, but it's impossible. I think the amount of these 1100s they made like this are microscopically small. I can't find one anywhere, even in older auctions that have ended. But this is what I can find you. I think my pick of the bunch, I mean, these drop pretty low in price. You can get one of these anything from about £900 up. This is the fully fared version. It's not specifically a looker. You can see how much better it looks when it's half fared and in that nice off-white colour. But here you go, a good solid workhorse for £900, that BMW reliability, coming up to coming up to 70,000 miles on the clock. I think that represents a really interesting diversion, a really interesting, maybe potentially slightly brave choice compared to the likes of a Honda Pan-European 1100 or even a Honda Deauville, something like this. You know, this is about the same price as those bikes. That is a lot of bike for the money. Marissa, thank you so much. I love it. On now, carrying on with BMW. I didn't mean to do this, but this episode is pretty much a BMW-focused episode. The incoming BMW R12 GS that I mentioned last week, it's a bike that when I first saw it about a week and a half ago, I immediately thought this is going to be a sales hit. This is a bike that looks excellent. It's going to take the fight to the likes of the Triumph Scrambler 1200s and things like this. Your thoughts have been especially interesting here because I said this is a homage to the original adventure bike, the BMW R80 GS from all the way back in 1980. Tenere Traveller says this. Freddie, I'm not sure about the timeline, although I'm happy to be corrected. Yamaha, they were the early winners of the Dakar and not the BMW R80. They used modified versions of the Yamaha XT500, which later became the Tenere. Then BMW came along, as you say. And people didn't get the GS in the sports bike mad Britain until a certain pair went around the world on their GS 1150 adventures, and suddenly people got interested and travel biking took off. The new one is an excellent, with regards to the R12 GS, an excellent styling exercise, and I'm sure in the right hands it's very capable, but not with my Neolithic levels of incompetence. It's too big, it's too heavy, and it's too complex for my tastes. Original all day long. Thanks for bringing this to my attention, and a few others did too. Yamaha XT500. Let's take a closer look at this. This, potentially one of the forerunners, one of potentially the first ever, maybe the first ever, some would argue, adventure bike. Yamaha XT500 launched in 1975 with a single cylinder, really looked at initially as an off-roader bike, but equally perfectly at home on the tarmac. And this was the key. It was just 155 kilos, so relatively speaking, quite a lightweight, 32 horsepower, with, and this is key, this is why it came out and it was an almost immediate sales success. Good off-roading, good on-roading, good sensible amount of power, and, in my eyes at least, phenomenally good looks. This is a lovely looking thing. Came out in 1991, and it's the bike that won the first ever Paris-Dakar rally in 1979, and they were so damn good at it, Yamaha, they went on the very next year, and they won it again. So this was the original Paris-Dakar hero bike. These bikes, they came out in a time, 1979, early 80s, when people were doing desert rallies. Often there weren't these huge levels of support. The bikes that would win these kind of rallies had to be, for one, phenomenally tough, yes, but also incredibly easy to fix by yourself. So mechanically, they had to be the definition of simplistic, and these Yamahas were both rugged and they were incredibly mechanically simple. I wonder what you're thinking with these. Are these going to be good value? Are they going to be, or are they going to have gone under the radar with regards to the used residuals? I found a little range here. I'm going to show you one of these on Facebook Marketplace. They are fairly plentiful because they were popular bikes, but unfortunately I'm not going to be able to say you can pick one of these up for £1,500 or so, because it ain't gonna happen. These are very well known, very well liked, and well respected bikes. So if you go onto Facebook Marketplace, for example, these are gonna go all the way up to about £8,000 for one that's borderline pristine. But you can get this one, Facebook Marketplace, £5,100. I tell you what, it's listed 14 weeks ago, this one, and a lot of these are just like this. It's a USA import model, unrestored, reliable motorcycle in great shape. If Yamaha brought one of these out again, made it look as close to this as possible, I think that would be a sales hit. They look so good. So that's £5,100, and you can go on here. eBay, I quite like this one. I think I'd be tempted by this. Auction that ends in one day, 18 hours, £5,495 or best offer. Or, sorry, not an auction, or you can make an offer on the bike. This is another US spec bike, but it hasn't yet been registered for UK use, which is a negative, I agree. But they say this is in fantastic condition, amazing example of this bike, and it really does look very good. And so long as you jump through the hoops to get it registered in the UK, £5,500 for pretty close to pristine one of those, that's a very, very special bike to have. And imagine owning a bike that was the winner of the first two Paris-Dakar wins. That is just the most excellent talking point. Carrying on here with the R12. Richard says about that, yes, but Freddie, with regards to the R12 GS, how much does a service cost on these bikes? See, this is the thing with a lot of people. It's a BMW and immediately alarm bells start ringing. How much is this going to cost to buy and also how much to run? So Richard, let's take a look at this. I had a look on BMW's website because they offer service plans for these. If you want this, what will be the 1200cc engine, it comes under, I think, the urban boxer segment of servicing. You can get two service packages. One is for 18,000 miles and another's for 30,000 miles. If we look at the 18,000 mile option, that is £1,145. And I'll put all of the list of what's included up there. So let's say you do 6,000 miles a year, for example. You're looking at about 400 miles or £400 a year for servicing this bike. It's quite a lot. When you consider this is a brand new bike, so in reality, nothing is going to break on it. You're not going to surely have any expensive service parts here. £400 for every 6,000 miles you do. I know it's not comparing like with like, but the Jeep, for example, that's done now, our Jeep, 2014 model, 20,000 miles. And I think, if I remember correctly, I don't have my paperwork here, I think it's cost us about £550, sticking religiously to the servicing over the past 20,000 miles, and that's including one ABS sensor and a spark plug change as well. And that's a car with 138,000 miles, so to have to pay £400 for every 6,000 miles on a brand new bike, brand new, and that's as part of the service deal. So in theory, decent value. That is really a lot of money. It's a lot of money. To serious now, Freddie again, regarding the GS, lovely bike, but no one is going to be getting that big, heavy, £14,000 bike dirty. I'm glad it exists, but it's a nostalgic marketing exercise and nothing more. Look, if you're really going to explore the wild, you can buy four Royal Enfield Scram 411s for the price of one of these. You only need to buy one, as it's so indestructible. I'll do two more here. This is from Grim Dark Sandwich. When I think of BMW, the boxer engine's the first thing I think of. At the moment, the only ones they offer make pretty big horsepower and torque and are tied mainly to the bigger bikes with steep price tags. For example, I look at Triumph's ability to package their triples and twins into a line of lighter, less powerful, relatively affordable bikes, and I just wish BMW could do the same for the Boxster. Such a unique engine and riding experience. I just wish it was one that was a bit more accessible to a wider range of buyers. I have a question for you, because a lot of you said this. Genuine question. Do you believe BMW have it in them to actually genuinely build an affordable motorcycle? And I could say that about cars as well. I don't know if BMW have the capability to build an affordable bike, because I can tell you a bike that I think will immediately be a huge sales hit with BMW. Build, for example, a simple back to basics 800cc BMW Boxer with no fancy electronics, nothing at all. A nod to the bikes of the 1980s, for example, something that looks like that. Just give it 50 or 60 horsepower. It doesn't need to have any more than that at all. Give it no fancy suspension at all. Sell it for £9,000. And I promise you, BMW, that would be a huge sales hit. But BMW won't do that because I don't know if they can do it. I don't know if their pricing structure around how they build bikes would even allow them to do it. BMW only make pretty heavy premium motorcycles. I just would love to see them make something simpler and more affordable, but I don't think they'll do it. It's a bit like what's going on with Harley-Davidson. How do you attract a younger audience? How do you get younger motorcyclists interested and engaged in the brand if you're cheaper, even your entry-level bikes, they're so unattainable? How is it possible to do that? Harley-Davidson have this exact problem right now. And BMW, if they don't offer one retro competitor within the market, you're not going to be building up a loyal customer base generation after generation. I think it's a huge missed sales opportunity there. And I'll wrap this little BMW R12 segment up with KTM Mark. Freddie. Oh, Mark, I like this. I did some research on this because I didn't know what to make of this when you first said it. The original, take a note of this, the original BMW 1200 GS was very light as it was put on a diet. Dry weight of the BMW R1200 GS was 199 kilos, dry weight, bear in mind. Mark, this is fascinating. Let's take a look at this. This was pretty much my bike of the week, but I went for something else. But this could easily be bike of the week here, just because it's such an interesting little moment in time. So this was at a moment when lightness was the key word within the GS lineup. This is when BMW, with the outgoing 1150, they said, right, let's shed some weight. Sounds amazing, sounds simple. How often does that happen? So infrequently. Well, they did it with the 1200. You won't believe the amount of weight that they shed. So 1150 disappears from the lineup. Out comes the brand new 1200 GS, and the weight saving, 1200 compared to 1150, was 30 kilos. That's a staggering amount of weight to lose. The interesting thing is, with the weight saving, if you go online and you look for, type into Google, BMW R1200 GS, and you look at the weight, chances are you're going to see a weight quoted as anywhere between 225 and 240 kilograms. Of course, make sure you can see the dry and wet weight difference. But you could look at the 240 kilo quoted weight and think, oh, right, there, heavy bike, that's it. I will ignore that. But the GS 1200 started ballooning as the years went on with different bits that had to be added. But there is a sweet spot before all of that came in. Let me try and explain a bit of this to you. The bike was launched in 2004. Then in 2007, 2008, there were loads of safety electronics introduced. Then in 2010, more stuff still was introduced. And then the big one, in 2013, the bikes became water-cooled and more electronics were added, such as rider modes. And just that update there in 2013 with the rider modes changing over to water-cooled, that increased the weight by 9 kilos in itself. So here is what you want to be looking for if you want one of these, we could almost say hero era BMW 1200 GSs, the really lightweight ones. First of all, if you want lightweight, stay away from the adventure ones. It has to be the simple 1200 GS, and you need to get it either a 2004, 2005, or 2006 model, because these are going to be the lightest models. They're also going to be the models with pretty much none of the electronic gizmos. So you're going to get stripped back to basics, good solid engineering, much less to go wrong, and the lightest possible weight BMW GS. What can I find for you? Let's head over to Facebook Marketplace. This is one I found. It's always a good sign when the bikes, the models you're looking for, plenty of them have over 50,000 miles on the clock. It shows they're well built and they're well trusted by the owners. This one, 2005 model, BMW R1200 GS, 47,000 miles on the clock, lots of service history, last major service with fluid change. Everything looks spot on, looks nice in that yellow colour. And I love the look of these old 1200s because they've got a really muscular look. So much of the bike's exposed. I love the fact you've got that lovely silver coloured frame with the crash bars on the front. It's a very purposeful looking thing. So £3,000 and you get what may well be, I'd love to hear your thoughts, may I say, the ultimate sweet spot in the BMW GS lineup, maybe a little sweet spot that a lot of people didn't know about, 2004 to 2006. Mark, thank you so much. On now to Bike of the Week from Torben. Freddie, quite simply, Ducati Desert X. This bike is actually a Dakar Rally. See, you can see I've got carried away here. Motorcycle adventuring and travel, being able to go anywhere, I just got massively carried away. This bike is actually a Dakar Rally inspired modern classic. Back in 1990, Kajiva raced with a Ducati powered bike in the Dakar Rally. It was called the Kajiva Elephant. Well, they even won, and that bike, I didn't know this, that bike looks exactly like you would imagine a Dakar bike to look. So nowadays, Ducati makes the Desert X, which looks almost exactly like the old Kajiva Elephant. Torben. I never realized this, Torben, that Ducati with the Desert X, they pretty much just copied the Kajiva Elephant. It's near enough an exact copy. Australian Motorcycle News say this. Eddie Orioli's January 1990 Paris-Dakar win on the Lucky Explorer. They are the colours on those Kajiva Dakar winning bikes. The Lucky Explorer Kajiva Elephant 900 began a huge 12 months for Ducati and its owner, Kajiva. By the end of the year, Raymond Roche would deliver Ducati its first World Superbike Championships on the 851 and the 888 Superbike. I mean, this is a time when Ducati could do no wrong. I also had no idea that Kajiva bought Ducati. Back in 1985, they owned it for 11 years. They then sold it in 1986. And honestly, Kajiva has been passed around in different deals, borderline going bankrupt, loads of things going wrong internally. It's almost impossible to follow and chart the history of Kajiva because they've been passed around. I think they're carrying on and still exist in some capacity now, but things, I think, to the best of my knowledge, have not been good for the brand for a long time. So it's funny to think that Kajiva once owned Ducati, and I believe now, if my memory serves me correctly, I believe MV Agusta may now own Kajiva. It's just weird the way things go in circles like that. Back to the Desert X. First off, take a look at this. Desert X with the Dakar winning Kajiva Elephant. They are so similar. It makes me like the Ducati even more. It's got a proper nod to the past, which I am a proper sucker for. I think it looks really good and Ducati have done a great job with that. 202 kilo dry weight, which is interestingly 3 kilos more than the 1200 GS BMW from 21 years ago. 223 kilos wet weight. Look, it's not crazily heavy or light. It's not great, but it's pretty good. 110 kilos, 1000cc V-twin, same as the Multistrada engine and brand new. It's £15,195, which in today's climate is pretty much what you're going to expect. There are three bikes I want to quickly show you here. First one is going to be Facebook Marketplace, one of the cheapest ones that I could find on here. That's £10,500 for this bike. What I really like about this is you can see this owner trusts it so much and he enjoys it. I really like a bike that's been enjoyed. This looks like Morocco here, this picture. 10,000 miles covered in 3 years to some lovely looking destinations. So this bike already has a story to tell and I really like bikes like that. So that's the first one, 10,500. Second one I had to show you because this owner has put on the Lucky Explorer decals to make it look as close to Kajiva as possible. In fact, on the side, you can see you've got the Kajiva writing. And it's really nice to see this and compare it to how the original looked back in, what, the 1990? Excellent looking thing. £14,000, so you could say that's quite a lot of money for a two-year-old one. But then look at the list of stuff that's been added to this bike. So this is an excellent opportunity to get, for one, a really unique looking Desertex with that Lucky Explorer decal setup that it's got, which I think works fantastically well. Brilliant looking thing. And all of that list, too many for me to list, but this person has gone to town on this bike and then only ridden it for 2,000 miles. So there's so much there with regards to finances that have been put into the bike. And the final one I'll do for the bike of the week, Ducati Desertex. Take a chance on this on eBay. It's an auction, a proper auction here, which ends in 6 days exactly. And this is £8,000 starting price. Who knows what this will go for, but it's got to be worth a punt. Give it a go to see how high this bike can go. I can see he's been to the ABR Festival, 4,200 miles on the clock, Michelin Anarchy tires, private seller. You're going to get this probably for a good price. And that is an exciting bike to see where it ends up finishing in the auction. And I'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching. Have a brilliant week all, and I'll see you all in the next one.